This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Welcome to the Military Times. My name is Mark Love, and our first article comes from the front page news of the Military Times magazine, dated April 2nd, 2025. There's a war on vets. Democrats launch plans to counter Trump's VA moves. Angry over planned cuts at veteran affairs facilities and a lack of communication from department leaders about those moves, congressional Democrats are plotting confirmation holds, legislative obstruction, and unofficial hearings in an attempt to create public outrage over the administration's changes to veterans programs and benefits. There is a war on veterans, said Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia, at a Wednesday shadow hearing on Capitol Hill, highlighting their complaints about the looming plans. President Trump has already fired more veterans than any president in the history of the United States. And they have already told the country that VA leaders are going to lay off another 80,000 people at the VA. Wednesday's event, the first in a series planned by Democrats on the Senate Affairs Veteran Affairs Committee, featured testimony from veterans who lost their government jobs in the initial waves of dismissal connected to President Donald Trump's efforts to shrink the federal workforce. About one-third of federal employees are veterans. White House officials have not said how many of the dismissed workers are veterans, but outside groups have estimated that more than 5,000 former military members have been caught up in the cost-cutting efforts so far, and critics say that the number will only grow. VA Secretary Doug Collins has announced plans to trim his agency's workforce back to 2019 staffing levels, a move that would eliminate more than 80,000 of the department's roughly 480,000 workers. In an interview with Military Times in March, Collins said efforts will be made to consider veteran status in job cuts and contract cancellations, but that the federal government should not serve as an employment program for the country. He also has repeatedly vowed that individuals who work directly in veterans' health care or processing veterans' benefits will not be impacted, and that veterans will see more support as a result of a more efficient department, not less. But Democrats in the House and Senate have disputed those claims. They call the department reform plan haphazard and cruel, without a clear guideline on how to protect veterans' benefits and support services amid plans to create savings in government operations. Much of the anger at Wednesday's event was focused on the Department of Government Oversight and a billionaire, Elon Musk, and their opaque authority in the administration. Fear and chaos, that's how this administration is running every agency, said Senator Mazie Hirono, Democrat of Hawaii. VA is a very critical part of the health care that veterans deserve, and they don't know what is happening to VA. Senate Veterans Affairs Committee Ranking Member Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, said Wednesday's hearing is the first step in a series of attempts by his caucus to slow or halt the controversial reforms. The caucus plans similar hearings every few weeks throughout the spring, highlighting potential dangers of the White House's VA plans. Senator Ruben Gallego, Democrat of Arizona, has announced a hold on all VA nominees until Collins withdraws his plans for significant staff cuts. Blumenthal went further on Wednesday, promising a hold on VA and some Defense Department nominees until more information is released on workforce and contracting changes at the Veterans Bureaucracy. And the senior Democrat on Veterans Committee said lawmakers are looking at procedural moves to slow down floor business in protest of the VA cuts and the refusal to publicly testify on the proposals. House Democratic leaders are planning similar tactics in coming weeks. Obviously, our tools are limited since we're in the minority, Blumenthal said, but we're going to use every one of them as effectively and promptly as we can. And ultimately, we're going to take this to the veterans themselves, enlist them in this fight. In response to Wednesday's threats of obstruction from Democrats, VA officials repeated a statement from earlier in the week criticizing the moves. Imagine how much better off veterans would be if lawmakers like Senator Blumenthal cared as much about fixing VA as they do about protecting the department's broken bureaucracy, said VA Press Secretary Pete Kasparowicz. VA healthcare has been on the Government Accountability Office's high-risk list for more than a decade, and GAO says VA faces system-wide challenges in overseeing patient safety and access to care, hiring critical staff, and meeting future infrastructure needs. Under Secretary Collins, VA is working hard to fix these and other issues. Collins is expected to testify before both the House, Senate, and Senate Veterans Affairs Committees and the Chamber's respective appropriation panels later this spring, but those dates have not been announced, and Republican leaders of the panels have not publicly pushed for congressional questioning of the VA leader in the near future. In our next article, could this device help catch Osprey clutch problems before disaster, dated April 2nd, 2025. The Navy has awarded Defense and Aviation Technology Company Shift 5 a contract to test predictive maintenance technology on the V-22 Osprey, which the company hopes might prevent gearbox catastrophes that have proven fatal in recent years. Under Shift 5's contract with Naval Air Systems Command, or NAVAIR, the Marine Corps will run the company's manifold technology on Ospreys flown by its operational test squadron. This will allow the V-22 Joint Program Office to test how well continuous operational data monitoring works on the tilt rotor aircraft and how to develop rules for detecting maintenance problems that need to be quickly addressed, the company said in a release Wednesday. Given the criticality of solving some of these life-threatening issues that are happening on the V-22, it really is all about providing real-time insights to the crew for situational awareness so that they can make better decisions. And Shift 5 chief executive and co-founder Joss Lospino. Perhaps most critically, Lospino said, the predictive maintenance technology could help the military understand how problems called hard clutch engagements happen. Hard clutch engagements occur when an Osprey's clutch connecting the engine to a propeller's rotor box briefly slips and then re-engages. This can cause the aircraft to lurch and damage crucial components, which in some instances has been a fatal factor in Osprey crashes. Five Marines died in the June 2022 Osprey crash in Southern California, which was later attributed to a hard clutch engagement. Multiple Ospreys have experienced hard clutch engagements that alarmed Air Force leaders and have at times caused air crews to cut flights short. An Air Force CV-22B Osprey also crashed off the coast of Japan in November 2023, killing 8 airmen and prompting a military-wide grounding of the tilt rotor aircraft that lasted for months. The Air Force concluded that a critical gear in the Osprey's prop rotor gearbox failed and caused the crash. Shift 5's manifold device will help build a data set of clutch engagements, analyzing whether such engagements are becoming more aggressive and contributing factors, Lisbonia said. That really is the holy grail that NAVAIR has been after, he said in an interview with Defense News. Shift 5's device, a 4-pound box that will be plugged into the Osprey's data network, will upgrade how the aircraft collects data and make it more readily available to air crews via a tablet-like display, Lospino said. Until now, he said, the most important data on hard clutch engagements have typically been only able to be accessed after the aircraft lands and investigators dive deep into the aircraft's inner workings. It's, in some cases, literally just taking data that already exists on a data bus and presenting it to the user, Lospino said. That data can include precise readings on the intensity and frequency of vibrations within the gearbox, for example, Lospino said. The device could also give Osprey pilots reminders about the many actions they need to take and environmental factors they need to monitor, he said, which could reduce the chances of human error. Being an Osprey pilot is probably the most challenging job flying any aircraft of any kind, Lospino said. If they forget to take certain steps, it can be extremely dangerous, but there's nothing in the cockpit that's alerting them to the fact that these conditions exist. The Shift 5 device's alert are almost like the equivalent of a seatbelt reminder. According to Lospino, Shift 5's device will just be tested by the Joint Program Office for now. Eventually, the company hopes to have them installed in all the military Ospreys, which he said would require a phased approach of taking some Ospreys down to install the devices during maintenance. He hopes the military and Shift 5 might be able to start working towards full fielding the device in the next quarter. In our next article, in the first P Hexif to skip multinational meeting on Ukraine support. Dated April 2nd, 2025. Pete Hegseth will not attend a gathering of 50 countries to coordinate military support for Ukraine. Multiple European officials and a U.S. official said, the first time the coalition will gather without America's Secretary of Defense participating. The group will meet April 11th in Brussels and be chaired by Germany and Britain. Hegseth attended the last meeting in February, though he became the first U.S. Defense Secretary in the coalition's 26 meetings not to lead it. Hegseth won't join in person and isn't expected to join virtually either, according to the U.S. official, who, like others, was granted anonymity to discuss the planning. In fact, the Pentagon is unlikely to send any senior representatives, which typically join the secretary on such trips. The United States is still assessing how its officials will participate in the various forums that support Ukraine, including those that help manage security assistance and training, the U.S. official said. For Europeans, the secretary's absence is the latest sign of the Trump administration's lower priority approach to arming Ukraine, a point Hegseth made clear at the last meeting in February. In a speech from Brussels, Hegseth scolded European officials, urging them to take more control of their own defense, rather than relying on America's 75-year role helping defend the continent. He also ruled out the possibility of NATO membership for Ukraine before the administration had itself made a decision on the topic, something the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Roger Wicker, Republican of Mississippi, called a rookie mistake. President Donald Trump will not allow anyone to turn Uncle Sam into Uncle Sucker, Hegseth said, referring to a quote from former President Dwight D. Eisenhower. Hegseth's predecessor, Lloyd Austin, founded the Ukraine Defense Contract Group shortly after Russia's full-scale invasion in 2022. Since then, the group has helped raise and coordinate more than $126 billion in security aid to Ukraine, around half of which has come from America. In the 3 years since, the group became synonymous both with Ramstein Air Base, where it was founded, and U.S. leadership. The only time Austin did not attend one of the group's in-person meetings was early 2024, when he was recovering from complications following cancer treatment. Instead, he called into the summit and had Celeste Wallander, a top Pentagon policy official, convene the group. Sensing the U.S. may step back from its role, European officials were already planning for alternate formats when the group last gathered during the Biden administration. Wallander said in an interview, one of the arrangements discussed was for Germany and the United Kingdom to take the lead, representing Europe's economic powerhouse and one of its most capable militaries. While the Ukraine group could continue meeting without U.S. leadership, Wallander said, there would be real costs. American defense officials, along with military counterparts from U.S. European Command, have typically led briefings on the state of the war and how it relates to Ukraine's battlefield needs. Without them, the group would lack key U.S. intelligence, something European officials are already preparing for. In late February, after a disastrous visit to the Oval Office by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, the U.S. stopped sharing intelligence with Ukraine and paused weapons deliveries for a week. The Pentagon has $3.85 billion left in authority to send Ukraine military equipment, but no money left to replace it. Leaders in Congress have said they have no plans to pass more. And in our next article, Naval Academy removes nearly 400 books from library in new DEI purge, dated April 2nd, 2025. The U.S. Naval Academy has removed nearly 400 books from its library after being told by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's office to review and get rid of ones that promote diversity, equity, and inclusion, U.S. officials said Tuesday. Academy officials were told to review the library late last week, and an initial search had identified about 900 books for a closer look. They decided on nearly 400 to remove and began doing so Monday, finishing before Hegseth arrived for a visit Tuesday that had already been planned and was not connected to the library purge, officials said. A list of the books has not yet been made available. Pulling the books off the shelves is another step in the Trump administration's far-reaching effort to eliminate so-called DEI content from federal agencies, including policies, programs, online and social media postings, and curriculum at schools. Pentagon spokesman Sean Purnell said late Tuesday, all the service academies are fully committed to executing and implementing President Trump's executive orders. The Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, the Air Force Academy near Colorado Springs, Colorado, and the U.S. Military Academy in West Point, New York had not been included in President Donald Trump's executive order in January that banned DEI instruction programs or curriculum in kindergarten through 12th grade schools that receive federal funding. That is because academies are colleges. Pentagon leaders, however, suddenly turned their attention to the Naval Academy last week when a media report noted that the school had not removed books that promoted DEI. A U.S. official said the academy was told late last week to conduct a review and removal. It isn't clear if the order was directed by Hegseth or someone else on his staff. A West Point official confirmed that the school had completed a review of its curriculum and was prepared to review library content if directed by the Army. The Air Force and Naval Academies had also done curriculum reviews as had been required. An Air Force Academy official said the school continually reviews its curriculum, coursework, and other materials to ensure it all complies with executive orders and Defense Department policies. Last week, Lieutenant General Tony Braunfein, the Air Force Academy superintendent, told Congress that the school was in the middle of its course review, but there was no mention of books. Officials spoke on a condition of anonymity to discuss academy policies. Hegseth has aggressively pushed the department to erase DEI programs and online content, but the campaign has been met with questions from angry lawmakers, local leaders, and citizens over the removal of military heroes and historic mentions from the Defense Department websites and social media pages. In response, the department has scrambled to restore some of these posts as the removals have come to light. The confusion about how to interpret the DEI policy was underscored Monday as Naval Academy personnel mistakenly removed some photos of the distinguished female Jewish graduates from a display case as they prepare for Hegseth's visit. The photos were put back. In a statement, the Navy said it is aware that photos were mistakenly removed from the Naval Academy's Jewish Center. It said U.S. Naval Academy leadership was immediately taking steps to review and correct the unauthorized removal. Hegseth spoke with students and had lunch at the academy Tuesday, but media were not invited or allowed to cover the visit. And in our next article, Hegseth orders review of physical standards for military combat roles, dated March 31st, 2025. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth on Sunday ordered a 60-day review of military combat arm standards to ensure that exceptions are not being made for female troops to assume the physical demanding roles. The review follows past concern from Hegseth that military readiness has diminished since 2016, when combat roles were first opened to women. Roughly 4,800 women serve in Army infantry, armor, and artillery jobs, according to data provided by the Defense Department late last year. Although military leaders have testified that standards have not been lowered for entry into those combat posts, conservative groups have insisted that women are being subjected to lower physical standards, fitness standards, requirements than their male counterparts, and they demanded changes in the military's approach. Defense Department officials did not say whether the findings due in May could result in some of the female service members being asked to leave the current roles or being forced out. In a social media statement, Hegseth said the neat move was needed to ensure the highest and equal standards for all the troops. For far too long, we allowed standards to slip, with different standards for men and women in combat arms. That's not acceptable, he said. The memo ordering the review, released by Defense Department officials on Monday, called for a redefinition of combat arms occupation and non-combat roles. It specifically lists three military specialties which require heightened entry level and sustained physical fitness standards. For ground combat operations, standards must include the ability to carry heavy loads, endure prolonged physical exertion, and perform effectively in austere, hostile environments. For special operations forces, the standards will incorporate advanced swimming, climbing, parachuting, and the ability to operate in extreme environments, as well as sustained peak physical performance. As for specialized operations, the memo calls for a focus on proficiency in those unique and demanding tasks, such as aquatic rescue, repair, and demolition. All entry-level and sustained physical fitness requirements within combat arms positions must be sex-neutral, based solely on the operational demands on the occupation and the readiness needed to confront any adversary, the memo states. It continues, in establishing those standards, the secretaries of the military departments may not establish standards that would result in any existing service member being held to a lower standard. Implementation of the new standards will happen over the next 6 months, according to department officials. Under the direction of Hegseth, military offices have already begun removing some photos, stories, and web pages detailing historic accounts of women's contributions to the military. department leaders have labeled the works as running afoul of new rules designed to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. Women make up about 18% of the current active duty force, including, according to department statistics. Female troops must meet different fitness standards for general occupations in the ranks than male service members, but they must pass gender-neutral standards for combat posts. In a podcast appearance last November, Hegseth was critical of women serving in any combat occupations, asserting that everything about men and women serving together makes the situation more complicated, and complication in combat means casualties are worse. I'm straight up saying we should not have women in combat roles, Hegseth said. It hasn't made us more effective. It hasn't made us more lethal. It has made fighting more complicated. Military leaders at the time pushed back against those statements. The Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and female combat troops add significant value to the finest and most lethal fighting force on Earth. And in our next article, VA unveils next 13 sites for electronic health record rollout, dated April 1st, 2025. Veterans Affairs leaders on Monday announced the next 13 sites to receive the department's embattled new electronic health records system, including multiple facilities in Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. The sites were chosen after VA Secretary Doug Collins earlier this month announced plans to accelerate deployment of the Oracle Millennium system, currently in operation at six of VA's 170-plus medical locations. Regional and local leaders, as well as officials from Oracle, helped select the next deployment targets. In a statement Monday, Collins said the faster rollout will give veterans a modern medical system that will result in improvements to care, coordination, and convenience. The Health Records Overhaul Project, launched by President Donald Trump in 2017, was designed to bring veterans' health records in line with military's files for the first time. The project was originally scheduled to take 10 years and cost $16 billion. But the project was fully halted in 2023 after multiple problems with staff training and patient safety issues. Only one site, a Joint Defense Department and VA hospital, has started using software since then. VA officials said they expect full implementation of the new health record system to be completed at every VA facility by nearly 2031, 4 years behind the original schedule. Planners had previously announced that four VA sites in Michigan, VA Battle Creek Medical Center, VA Detroit Healthcare System, VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System, and VA Saginaw Healthcare System would go live with the records software in 2026. The newly announced sites include Chillicothe VA Medical Center in Chillicothe, Ohio, Cincinnati VA Medical Center in Cincinnati, Ohio, Dayton VA Medical Center in Dayton, Ohio, Lewis Stokes VA Medical Center in Cleveland, Ohio, Cincinnati VA Medical Center for Fort Thomas in Fort Thomas, Kentucky, Fort Wayne VA Medical Center in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Marion VA Medical Center in Marion, Indiana, Richard L. Rodebush VA Medical Center in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the Alaska VA Healthcare System in Anchorage, Alaska. Specific implementation dates for each of the sites will be released sometime in the future. Both Republican and Democratic lawmakers have been skeptical of department plans to restart the record system rollout, insisting on clear training and safety guidelines for the work. But Collins said he is confident that in the new plans and wants the project to move forward more quickly than the previous administration had planned. In our next article, Senator vows to hold all VA nominees over planned staff cuts, dated April 1, 2025. Arizona Democratic Senator Ruben Gallego on Tuesday vowed to hold all senior Veterans Affairs nominees in an effort to force department leaders to reconsider massive planned cuts to the agency's workforce in coming months. The move by Gallego, a member of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee and a Marine Corps veteran who saw combat in Iraq, came on the same day the Vet Committee held confirmation hearings for three senior department posts. Republican leaders can still get around the holds and confirm those posts, but doing so will take extra floor time and procedural maneuvers. Gallego said the obstruction is worthwhile to highlight the potential dangers of VA's leaders' plan cuts. Let's sit down and actually have a real review about where we can find efficiencies, where we can make investments in VA, he said in an interview with Military Times. Maybe that does mean that we have to close some areas, merge some areas, hire more people, invest in technology. But the fact is, the administration is not doing any of that. They're saying the best way for us to make improvements is just to cut the workforce. They're not telling us how that actually is going to improve the lives of veterans or if we're actually improving the efficiency. Last month, leaked documents revealed plans by VA leadership to cut the department's workforce by more than 80,000 individuals, returning staffing to 2019 levels. VA Secretary Doug Collins has said that the moves will make the department leaner and more focused without harming benefits delivery. But Democratic lawmakers and many outside advocacy groups have questioned that assertion, many noting that officials are performing a review of staffing needs and gaps after already publicly committing to the sweeping cuts. The Senate has already confirmed the top leadership posts at VA Collins and Deputy Secretary Paul Lawrence. Trump has not yet announced nominees for the Undersecretary of Health and Undersecretary for Benefits, former Senate candidate Sam Brown, nominee for Undersecretary for Memorial Affairs, as expected to quickly gain confirmation before Gallego's hold. Brown faced mostly complex questioning at the Senate Veterans Armed Affairs Committee hearing Tuesday alongside James Baer, Trump's nominee to be general counsel for VA, and Richard Topping, Trump's nominee to be VA's chief financial officer. Gallego said he will remove the holds if VA leaders commit to abandon plans to unilaterally lay off 83,000 VA employees. In a statement in response to the holds, VA Press Secretary Pete Kasparitz emphasized the need for staff changes at the department and insisted that despite major opposition from those who don't want to change a thing at VA, we will reform the department to make it work better for veterans, families, caregivers, and survivors. And in our next article, pay and benefits. Plan would make military enlistment retention bonuses tax exempt. Data April 2nd, 2025. Military enlistment and retention bonuses would be exempt from federal taxes under a proposal unveiled this week, a move that could put thousands of dollars into the wallets of eligible service members. The legislation, sponsored by Army veteran Representative Brian Mass, Republican of Florida, would apply to enlistment, reenlistment, and other incentive bonuses. Those can range from a few hundred dollars to tens of thousands in extra cash. Many of those bonuses are currently taxed at a rate of 20% or more, blunting some of the impact of the financial windfalls for military families. Troops deployed to combat zones who receive bonuses are not subject to federal taxes, but individuals stationed elsewhere are. Military service members raise their right hands to defend our country, and in return, they deserve to keep every cent of the bonus they earn, Mass said in a statement. This bill removes the unfair tax burden that has long affected military bonuses and keeps hard-earned money in the pockets of our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Guardians. Whether the measure can become a law is unclear. Mass's office did not release an estimate of the potential cost of the measure, but the loss of tax revenue could play a factor in congressional efforts to craft the annual appropriations bill. Well, I'm afraid this is all the time we have for now. I'd like to thank you for joining us for Military Times. My name is Mark Love, and I hope that you'll join us next time.